We'll be looking at Psalm 31 today. The psalmist is engaging in prayer before the Lord. As he pours out his heart, it becomes clear that he's going through a difficult time spiritually. His prayer is for the Lord not to fail him. Verses 1 and 17. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. And verse 17 tells us this. Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Do not let me be ashamed. His desire is to be vindicated in the presence of his enemies. As I read these words, I see in them more than a plea for help. I also see a statement of faith. This man speaks of several areas of his spiritual life that you and I need to consider. His desire is for help from God. My desire is to show you the areas of life mentioned in which we should never be ashamed. Let's notice these truths as we think on the thought, let me not be ashamed. We all know what it is to be ashamed. Webster defines the word as feeling shame, guilt, or disgrace, feeling inferior or unworthy. We all know what being ashamed means, not from a textbook definition, but because we have all experienced times in life when we have been ashamed. And certainly there are things about us of which everyone ought to be ashamed. By the same token, there's some things related to our relationship with God in which we should never be ashamed. That is what I want to look at today. First of all, we should never be ashamed that we possess him. Look at verses 3, 5, 14, and 16. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. You are my rock and my fortress. Speaks of possession. God is our rock, our fortress. Verse 5, into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. We are redeemed, brothers and sisters. We possess redemption because of what God has done for us. Verse 14, but as for me, I will trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. We need not never to be ashamed because we possess God. You are my God. And in verse 16, make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. We are his servants. He is our God. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, for as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God. We need never be ashamed, brothers and sisters, that he is our God. We also need never be ashamed that we trust him for all things. By trusting in God, it's not a sign of weakness to express a need to God. Christ said in John 15 that we could do nothing apart from him. In Philippians 4 it says that to Christ who strengthens us, all things are possible. We need never be ashamed, brothers and sisters, for we possess God. Not only do we never need to be ashamed that we possess him, We need never be ashamed to profess Him. If you profess God, if you possess God, then you need to profess God. You need never be ashamed of people knowing that you are a Christian. Turn to Romans 9, verse 33. We need never be ashamed, brothers and sisters. 9:33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. What a promise, brothers and sisters, for all of those that possess God. If He is your God, if He is your source of strength, if you possess Him, you can profess Him, for you need never to be ashamed. Then whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. What a glorious promise. Romans chapter 5. Verse 5 tells us this. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, given to us, dwelling in us, being poured out in our hearts. What a possession. And we need to profess Him. We need not be ashamed. You can hold your head up and tell the world that Jesus Christ is yours. Turn to Luke 12, verse 8. Such glorious promises in the Scripture. You need to be in the Scripture. You need to study the Scripture. You need to know who you are in Christ and what Christ has done for you. Luke 12, verse 8. Also I say to you, whoever confesses Me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. That's what I had said. If you possess Christ, then you are to profess Christ. Whoever confesses Me before men, him the Son of Man will confess before the angels of God. Brothers and sisters, tell that family member, tell that neighbor, tell that co-worker, you need not be ashamed, for God is your God. God says you can do all things through Him who strengthens you. We can turn back to Psalm 31. Look at what the psalmist says in verse 2. Not only do we possess Him, not only are we to profess Him, but verse 2, 17 and 22 tells us something else. Bow down your ear to Me. Deliver Me speedily. Be My rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save Me. Your possession, He is your rock. And now you're asking Him to bow down your ear to Me. What another glorious promise that the God of this universe would bow down and listen to you. He would, as it were, crane His neck forward and bend down to listen to the prayers of His people. Bow down your ear to Me. Deliver Me speedily. Be My rock of refuge. Possessing God, professing God, praying to God. Once again, I'll say to you, prayer is not a sign of weakness. Possessing God is not a sign of weakness. Professing God is not a sign of weakness. Praying to Him, not weakness, but appealing to His power, appealing to His omnipotence. For our God rules and reigns. The real weakling is the person who thinks he can handle it himself. That's the real weakling. The weakling, the world thinks the weakling is one that would bow their knee to Almighty God. The real weakling is the one that thinks, I can handle this myself. Prayer, brothers and sisters, is the Christian's greatest resource. It opens the heavens. It unlocks the power of God in our lives. Use it liberally. We are to be a people of prayer, for we possess a God who answers prayer. And this is the God who I am professing to you, those who possess Him. And even if you don't not possess Him at this moment, Christ has promised that if you would come to Him, if you would simply come to Him and receive Him, that He would save your soul. Praying to God, professing Him, possessing Him. Jesus promised to hear us. He promises to hear our prayers. Turn to 1 John 5:15. Not the Gospel of John, but the Epistle of John. Verse 5. 1 John 5:15. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. What a glorious truth. Let me read that from verse 14 of 1 John 5. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, speaking of Christ, that if we ask anything according to His will, see, this is where a lot of us get in trouble. We ask for things that are not according to God's will, and then when we don't get it, then we get mad. Then we start doubting, and a host of other sins start to creep in. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Praying to God, possessing God, professing God. He has promised to hear us. He has promised to help us. And also look at verse 22. Back to Psalm 31. Verse 22 tells us, "For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, brothers and sisters, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you." Oh, hallelujah. "Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you." Brothers and sisters, you who possess God, you are to profess God. You are to pray to God, for He will hear us and He will help us. And also, not only are we to possess and profess and to pray, but we're to praise Him. Look at Psalm 31, verse 4. "Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength." You are my strength. The reasons why we're to praise Him. "You pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me." Deliverance. Why would you praise Him? For He has delivered you. He's delivered you from sin, hell, and death. Should that not cause praise? Verse 7, "I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy. For you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul and adversities. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercies." Oh, hallelujah. Should that not bring praise? "You have considered my trouble." God, considering our trouble. "You have known my soul and adversities." God has known us, brothers and sisters. God cares all about us. Verse 21, "Blessed be the Lord, for He has shown me His marvelous kindness in a strong city." Wow. Wow. Does that not cause you to praise Him? for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city, in a fortified city. All of the things that have come against you, brothers and sisters, you that possess him and profess him and pray to him, he causes us to praise him. We need to praise him for salvation. We need to praise him for paying our sin debt. We need to praise him for heaven. We need to praise him for meeting our needs, for giving us the Holy Spirit, for giving us the Word of God, and for uniting us to Jesus Christ, for adopting us into his family. We ought to praise him. We are commanded to praise him. All over the scriptures, we are commanded to praise him. Psalm 34, 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Continually, brothers and sisters, when you read the Psalms are just full of praise. The Psalms are such a blessing to the people of God for thousands of years. Psalm 47:1. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. Clap your hands. Shout to God. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. Not only a great king, the King of Kings. We need not be ashamed to profess him, to pray to him, to praise him. We ought to present ourselves to him. Turn back to Psalm 31, verse 5. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord of truth. We are brothers and sisters to present ourselves. To present ourselves to him. We are commanded. Look at verse 7b. And we will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my soul. You have known my soul in adversities. Brothers and sisters, we are to pour out our souls to God. Verse 9, have mercy, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body. Would that verse find you today? My eye wastes away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. God would say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Back to our psalm today, Psalm 31, look at verses 23 and 24 in closing. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. Notice he's calling you a saint there, not a sinner, a saint. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord, all you who hope in the Lord, get to present yourself to him, get to praise him, get to pray to him, get to possess him. You will possess him, you will profess him. Brothers and sisters, what a great God we have. He's the cure for our sin. We need never be ashamed to witness. You never need to be ashamed of anything. For that is what I read to you in the beginning in Romans. To all you who believe, you shall never be ashamed. Let's turn back to that verse in closing, if you don't mind. That's chapter 9, verse 33. As a matter of fact, let's read from verse 30. What shall we say then? That Gentiles, you have two classes of people, the Jews and the Gentiles. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness, they have attained to righteousness, obtained righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling block. Realize this, brothers and sisters. You want another reason why to present yourself and why to proclaim Him? How about the fact that you, being a Gentile, you have obtained righteousness simply by faith. And even that faith had been given to you. The Israelites were trying to justify themselves before God by their works. Saving faith, though, believes that Christ perfectly obeyed the law of God and that He atoned for our sins and that He is our substitute. And by simply believing in Him, that we would have eternal life. So back to Romans 9, verse 32. Why? They didn't attain the righteousness. Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. That comes from Isaiah. The Messiah was spoken of all throughout the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. Christ said to the two disciples on the road, have you not read, did you not know? All the Scripture speaks of Me. And we've been studying the Psalms. The Psalms is full of Christ, full of what He would do for His people. Never be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. Brothers and sisters, may we be a praising people, one that continually come into His presence, that we would talk to Him all throughout the day, brothers and sisters. We had such a glorious privilege. And you, my friend, if you're listening today, and you've never come to Jesus Christ for salvation, let me first tell you the bad news. If you don't come to Christ, you will be ashamed. You will be judged for all of your sins, past, present, and future. Sins that you haven't even committed yet. You will be judged for all of your sin, and you will be ashamed. But the good news is, whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will not be put to shame. And Jesus Christ would command you today, come. 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 Whosoever will come will not be put to shame. Simply come to Jesus Christ, repenting of your sin that you somehow could earn God's favor. There's no earning God's favor. is simply receiving the gift, as I mentioned in the beginning, to as many received them, to them, he gave the right to become the children of God. That's not the cause, that's simply the effect. You become a child of God. Come today. I would beg with you and plead with you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.